welcome, I need to peer around pillars, such as this outpouring, this expression of love for Nicola and for Peter and the family. Thank you so much for coming, everyone. You're most welcome to St. Matthew's Harwell. This is a service of several parts, really. It's a celebration of a life of a wonderful woman, mother and grandmother and all sorts of other things, different people. I should say right at this point that I'm going to be referring to Nicola as Nicola throughout, but I'm aware that everyone has a different name. Well, not everyone, but you know, we all have different names for people that we know and love through different stages of life, and Nikki and Nick and Mum and what have you. You know, I'm going to be saying Nicola, but we all know who we're talking about. We've been able to share some memories on the screen, so there's an opportunity to continue to share memories after this service at the Village Hall. If you don't know where that is, it's just the other side of the village, which is not very far. It's a very easy walk. If you just go back up Church Lane and turn left, it's on the High Street. If you have a car parked in the farmyard, please leave it there. If you want to, that's fine. If you're going to drive across, there's a car park the other side of the Village Hall, so carry on up the High Street, just go past the Village Hall, and then the next turning on the right is Westfield. If you turn right down there, then there's a car park at the back of the Village Hall. There's more space there than there is in the other one. So please come along to that. If you're not able to come to the Village Hall afterwards, please would you just sign a card or make a comment, which will be available just in that corner there, on that surface that people are keeping warm for us at the moment. Thank you for that. And that will be available for people just to acknowledge that they've been here and just sign or make a comment. But if you're going to the Village Hall, you can do that there, because we won't be able to all do that here. Just while I'm saying about that, there are toilets in that direction, and the exits are that way, this way, and also that way, should you need to leave at any point of the service and afterwards. So a few things there to note. Just while we're saying about after the service, available after the service are these wonderful little booklets that have been extracted from the Bible Reading Fellowship notes, Bible reading notes, a lovely set of readings that were written by a lady called Rachel Balding, who at the time of writing these reflections had been told that she had less than a year to live, but she died at the end of Easter week last year. But really nice reflections, if anyone would like to take those, they're freely available, called Grief and Glory. So please just note that those are available on the way out, should you wish to take one of those. Is there anything else I should be saying at this point? Peter, have I missed anything? So this service is printed in the service sheet, but also projected on the screens. If you can't see the words, for one, hopefully the other will be effective for you. So I would invite you to join in with the hymns, of course, standing. Any prayers that you feel comfortable praying, and there'll be an opportunity to join in. But the words are available and printed and on the screen. So just a formal greeting, some words, an opening prayer, and then we're going to sing together. So we meet in the name of Jesus Christ, who died and was raised to the glory of God the Father. Grace and mercy be with you. We look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Today we come together to remember before God our sister Nicola, to give thanks for her life, to commend her to God, our merciful Redeemer and Judge, and to comfort one another in our loss and grief. And so we pray. Father in heaven, we thank you because you made us men and women in your own image and gave us gifts in body, mind and spirit. We thank you now for Nicola and what she meant to each of us. As we honour her memory, make us more aware that you are the one from whom comes every perfect gift, including the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. Amen. So would you please stand as we sing together our first hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Thank you. Please be seated. We have an opportunity to share some memories, and first up is Graham.
We first met Nicola at a party in Toot Baldwin some 45 years ago. Within several days, Nicola had invited our young family around to their house to meet her children. At the door, a beaming Nicola and hearty greeting, accompanied in the background by children's happy voices and Jamie the dog. We were soon to find out that this was typical, a warm and welcoming home with the door always open. First and foremost, I think of Nicola as such a loving and supportive person. As wife to Peter, they made a great team. And as mother to their three children, together with the 15 children they fostered. I once told her what a fabulous mother I thought she was. "Oh," she exclaimed, and replied in her usual self-deprecating way. She welcomed into the family with open arms the children's spouses and adored their 7 grandchildren. She came from a big family and treasured the regular contacts with them. What a family! She had energy and empathy with others, always honest and unselfish. She spoke it the way it was, straight and to the point. Finely tuned antennae, dependable, a get on with it approach. And I think all these qualities led naturally to her becoming interwoven in all aspects of life in the villages. She became a great friend and soulmate to many. As a village school parent, she always participated wholeheartedly in all school activities. She was a terrific all-round athlete. I remember her competing in the mother's race on school's sports day and being narrowly beaten by another highly competitive mum. But she got her revenge the following year. She was involved in the mother's union. She played the piano at village events, the organ in church. She sang in the choir. She was a fantastic hostess. Helped with village fetes. She could knit and sew and knock up tasty meals from anything. For many years, there were discussion and Bible study groups in their home. These groups had a profound influence on my life. She helped edit and produce the newsletter. She delivered Meals on Wheels. She coached children and adults tennis. She welcomed new arrivals in the village and visited those who were sick or needed help. She loved music, reading, dancing, a good communicator, and acted as Peter's private secretary and technology guru. The list of talents seemingly endless. Wherever Nicola was, whether in England, in Scotland, up the Atlas Mountains, in Ethiopia, New Zealand, South America, wherever in this world, she felt nearby. And that feeling of closeness will always remain with us. Forever a soulmate.
Thank you, Graham, for your warm tribute to Rosie.
Well, I feel very honoured and privileged to be asked to say a few words to you today, as Nicola obviously had so many friends, as we've seen on the pictures just here, and also this church full of you. Nicola was a great friend to me, and I have only known her for the past about 15 years, but we shared a lot in common. Foremost was our sharing of our Christian faith, and we had many mutual friends through that. Nicola was selfless, always ready to support and to give her time to help others. She had a listening ear. She was an encourager and a confidant during difficult times. She had a deep insight into others' problems, and she gave wise counsel. And I know many of us can speak of this from personal experience. Peter and Nicola, as we've already heard, had an open home. They loved sharing their homes here and in Abbeymoor with others, and were very generous in their hospitality, which we have so enjoyed with them both. We particularly enjoyed the times with them in Abbeymoor, sharing varied activities. We had great walks when Nicola would point out the osprey nests or take us to see the capercaillie. We went on cycle rides together, although it was difficult to keep up with Nicola. She had joined a local golf club at Boater Garten, where we enjoyed playing with them both. Also, we were privileged to play at Castle Stewart and at one of my very favourite courses, Spey Valley, which is beautifully situated amongst the mountains close to their home there. Being Nicola, she had quickly made friends in Abbeymoor at the golf club and at the local church, and was fully participating in both those places. Nicola had a real peace about her. She was always cheerful and appeared to take everything in her stride, and she did not appear to be anxious about anything. A most endearing characteristic was that she did not find fault or criticise anyone or anything. Did you ever hear Nicola complain? I think not. What a unique quality. Nicola has been a valued member of Frilford Heath Golf Club for 36 years, way before I joined, and she was Lady Captain in 2008, the centenary year. She initiated a Club Captain Lady Captain Challenge, which was fun and well supported. I'll always remember during this year the duet that Peter and Nicola sung at Burns Night, which was organised by Ian and Jean Lees. It was a witty reply to the toast to the ladies. Now, I don't know which of you wrote the lyrics, Peter, but the tune was to The Bonnie Banks of Loch Lomond, and I'm not going to sing it, but you two started, "You take the red course and I'll take the blue course, I'll be at the 19th for you," followed by four lovely, amusing verses. It was great. Nicola was fun. But public performances were probably outside her comfort zone, but maybe having to take to the floor for the first dance was too, but she did it. Her captain's charity for the year was Home Start, which was very dear to her heart, and I know that over the years she has helped many families, giving up her time to support them voluntarily. I am sure that everyone here has a special memory of dear Nicola, and I would now like to share four comments that Peter or I have received over the past 2 weeks. Nicola and I always had such fun on the golf course, catching up on family news, with me striving to keep up with her as she walked so fast. Nicola was a wonderful lady whose company I always enjoyed, and I will remember forever our happy times on the golf course. Nicola was a competitor with just the right mix of competitive spirit and sporting attitude. She will be forever missed by so many, and I've always said that she was beautiful from within. One of the kindest people I have ever known. It was an honour to be her friend. All such pertinent comments, which I totally endorse. We had plans for the future to do things together, which are not now to be, but I'm honoured to have known her and will miss her as a very good friend.
Thank you, Rosie, for sharing those lovely memories and messages. And now, Dave.
When my brothers knew that I'd been asked to speak, they did say to me, because when I spoke at my mum's funeral, my voice was way too loud, and I'm a head teacher, and I tend to be a bit loud when I'm on a microphone, so I'll try to be quiet. But I'd like to start off by just saying that I'm one of five brothers, and I don't know, it's a bit wrong this, but we used to sit and discuss who had the best godparents. And the people who came out first were Peter and Nikki. There was no question for us, it was always Peter and Nikki, and they were always very jealous of the fact that Peter and Nikki, and I hope there's no other Bennett godparents in here, or I'll be in trouble, but just always top. And Nikki and Peter just were fantastic for all of us as a family. And my brothers aren't able to be here, and they just wanted to say how much they appreciated Nikki in so many ways. And my brother, who's in Canada, phoned this morning just to say that as well, and wanted to say how much he'd like to have been here. But just some memories for me. I mean, one of the things that has sort of come out is Nikki, to me, always just remained young. And I couldn't believe it when Peter phoned up, because she's always just been young to me. And, and it goes right back to when I lived with Peter and Nikki, that Nikki would talk to me about the new LP I bought, or the new thing, whereas my parents didn't have a clue about music at all, but Nikki would talk about David Bowie or whatever, and it was that sort of, you know, she knew about this sort of stuff, and was young, and just always looked young. When we saw her last year, I just thought, she doesn't look any different from years ago. Secondly, we've already mentioned sport and how she's involved in a lot of sport, but you might not know that her first ever tennis lesson she did when she came to visit us, and she wanted to practice. I think she'd had some training on doing this, and she tried to coach my older brother Pete and me, and I think Andrew and David, and we were very poor students. We were very poor, and especially me and Pete, who never got any good at tennis at all. But fortunately, it didn't scar her, and she continued and went on and coached other people and did really well with them. A third thing that we had some fantastic family holidays together, and we went on holiday with Peter and Nikki, and we just loved it. And when you've got five boys in the family, when you go away without anyone else, it can be quite fractious. You know, you're always, you know, five boys arguing, fighting, whatever. But when Peter and Nikki came with us, it was lovely. We all got on, and I'm sure that was about Nikki, you know, making sure things were smoothed out and went well. I think the other thing is, Nikki was brave to come with us, because you've got five boys, then you've got Andrew and David and Peter and my dad and Nikki, Anna and Mum. You know, they survived, I think. But it enabled us. We went off on all these massive long walks, and Nikki and Mum were at home making sure that we were fed well and all those things. It sounds very sexist now when we say it, but it was brilliant when it happened. But, you know, and I think that those are great memories, which we loved up in Scotland, in Aviemore, at Boated Garden and those places. I think it's already been mentioned, Peter and Nikki's hospitality. Unbelievable, you know. Me and Fran, my wife, we feel quite good if inviting someone round for a meal. I lived with Peter and Nikki for 3 months, you know, and they looked after me after I left school and passed my year out. And just the way they looked after me and the way they look after people and showed hospitality. And Nikki was just fantastic at that and just made you feel at home. And I came in to live with them in Marshbourne, and I never felt like I was a stranger in the home or I was a visitor. I was just part of the family, and it was just fantastic. And I feel proud to say that Nikki's my friend, and she's someone who has really gave me friendship over the years, and would talk to me about all sorts when I saw her, and would discuss things. If I phoned her up, we'd chat about different things and really be interested in what I was doing. And you know, one of my other brothers said, you know, one of the things that Nikki did, and Peter as well, is just bring out the best in my parents. And I know that the mum and dad had some fantastic times with them and really enjoyed. Sadly, they've both died now, but they just had some brilliant times together and really enjoyed going walking together and all those things. And I know as a family that was something really special. And the way that they looked after mum after dad had died as well and cared for her is something that really matters to us. And lastly, when I moved down to live with Peter and Nikki for 3 months, I'd grown up in a family where my parents were Christians, but I just completely lost my way. I was all over the place, and You know, the thing that Nikki did was she never ever, I don't think she ever said anything about faith. She just lived it out in what she did, in how she lived, in how she treated me, in how she loved other people. And it just struck me. And actually, during that time, I came back to faith and have, you know, just, I know that their influence on me and how that's changed my life completely. And I just need to say thank you for that. And I feel really honoured to have been given the chance to speak about this. I feel really honoured to have said that, and I feel really honoured to have known Nikki and to have known Peter, and just the way that they have cared for me and loved me. And I want to say thank you very much for that. And I just wanted to finish. I've been praying for the family, because I know it's really difficult losing a mum, losing a wife, and I just wanted to read just a short passage, which is just I think just encourages so much. And it's from Lamentations, and it says, "Yet I still dare to hope when I remember this. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance, therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who depend on him, to those who search for him. So it's good to wait quietly for salvation from the Lord."
Thank you, Dave, for all those lovely memories again, and for bringing that word to us. You speak of hospitality that you've enjoyed over the years, and of course many, many people have enjoyed that. And it's appropriate really that we have the next hymn that we do, and also the reading which is going to be following in a few minutes' time, which speaks of really God's hospitality and the provision of God providing for his people, for his flock. The Bible rather unflatteringly describes people like sheep, and we are rather like sheep in many ways, but he provides for us like a good shepherd. And we're going to sing now of the Lord's goodness. The Lord's my shepherd. Would you please stand? Memories now from the family, beginning with Sarah.
Nick, or Nikki, as we know her by the family, as a family, when she was young, was the fourth daughter born to John and Barbara Ridges and was my younger sister. Our parents gave us a wonderfully secure, happy home, and they taught us by their example to love God. We had an idyllic childhood and enjoyed many memorable caravan holidays on farms near the sea. Growing up, we probably focused more on sport and music than on our academic achievements. Nick, however, as she loved reading, always had her head in a book. From early days, we learnt to play tennis, starting with Padda in the garden at Manston. In 1955, we moved to Watling, where we spent a great deal of our time on the tennis court and walking in the beautiful Kent countryside with Shandy, the dog. Being an all-girls family, having tennis parties enabled us to entertain boys in an easy manner. At the age of 11, Nick followed us as a boarder to Northvorland Lodge. There she made some lifelong friends, excelled in sport, no golf at this stage, continued learning the piano, started playing the cello, as well as obtaining a respectable number of O-levels. Only recently, Nick told me that she would have loved to have gone to university. In our day, that wasn't the normal expectation. Northvorland trained us, in the words of the headmistress, to be respectable members of the community, loyal, loving wives and mothers. And from Nick's life, we know how well she put that training into practice. Nick left school at 16 and after 6 months in Switzerland trained as a secretary and in her quiet, unassuming manner worked in the House of Lords for the then Lord Chancellor, Lord Gardiner. She lived in London and shared a flat with four nurses. During this time, Nick came to a personal faith in the Lord Jesus, whom she served faithfully for the rest of her life. A year later, she was one of my bridesmaids, and a certain young man called Peter Barclay Watt was best man. The first time they met was when they walked arm in arm down the aisle of the church, where they married 18 months later, just before Nick's birthday, 21st birthday. Those of us who were present at their golden wedding celebration last year know just what a wonderful marriage Nick and Peter's was. They were devoted to each other, complementing one another beautifully and sharing many common interests. Their love of God, the family, Scotland, sport, music and people. Their first home was in Harpenden, where they offered hospitality to family and friends and where Nick developed her culinary skills. She produced delicious meals with apparently very little effort and made you feel so welcome at home and at home. But Peter always came first. A friend of Nick's told me that when she visited in the early days of their marriage, it was nearly time for Peter to come home from the office. She made sure the meal was prepared and said, "I'll just go upstairs and put some lipstick on before Peter comes in." Andrew was born in Harpenden, and shortly after his arrival, they moved to the Baldens, where they named their house Dunmen, the river in Scotland by which they got engaged. Nick had always wanted four children, but Peter felt three was quite enough. So they ended up with five when Michael and Katie joined Andrew, David and Anna. Once they'd all grown up, Nick took on short-term fostering until Peter retired. Then she became a family support helper with Home Start. I'm speaking on behalf of my sisters, Liz, Anne and Jo. We are so grateful to God that Nick was given to us for her love, sensitivity, willingness to listen and help whenever possible, and for her prayerfulness. Many a time I would ring and ask her to pray, and a few days later she would ring to ask how things were. We will miss you, Nick, but we thank God today that you have been spared suffering and that you are now with your Lord, and we trust using your beautiful voice to worship him in heaven.
Thank you, Sarah. It was so good to hear. Now we come to the children, Anna, David and Andrew.
Firstly, I'd just like to say a really big thank you to everyone that's here to help celebrate Mum's life today. And also, thank you so much for all your kind words and letters that we've had. I know Dad and us have taken real comfort in these, and with so many happy memories shared. So thank you. Mum to me was everything a mum should be. Mum and Dad gave me guidance, security, love and fun as we were growing up. However mischievous, grumpy or disobedient I was, more than they would have liked, I'm sure, there was always a telling off, but also an amazing feeling of unconditional love. This unconditional love is also passed on down to their grandchildren, who will also really miss Nana, as she was known, and of course her chocolate cake that came with her every time she came to visit, and her unbelievable patience and competitiveness while playing endless games of Sorry, which is a board game from when she was a child, with Zach, Zara and Daniel whenever we visited. We were always impressed with her energy and always wanting to join in. I will miss Mum so much, not having her at the end of the phone when I want to share our successes with her grandchildren, and knowing she will feel as proud as me, not as proud as I am, and not being able to meet at John Lewis for a coffee in a shop, and many other day-to-day things. But Mum and Dad, what they've left me, Tarza, Zach, Zara and Daniel, are with so many happy memories, so many positive examples of how to live a life, and a feeling of being part of a loving family, and of course her faith in God. Mum has given me all this in abundance, so all I can say is thank you, Mum and Dad. A friend sent me a note which I think sums her up well. I am so thankful to have known and to have received her loving, no-fuss hospitality and kindness. And even though I didn't know it at the time, to have felt the love of Christ when with you all. Thank you.
Shortly after Mum died, I ran along the small road on the edge of Aviemore, where we often used to walk or cycle with the kids. When they were little, this was typically to a small play park, and Mum and I would be pushing a pram or chasing a wobbling child on a bike. More lately, it would have been the start of the route we took to go cross country to Bow Garden, and we would have been ensuring that they were all taking the right track or meeting the older cousins on their way back from a longer loop. I cherished this time with Mum to chat about the children's development and get her views on how to approach different challenges with them. It is an idyllic setting, whether being framed by the sunlit mountains or moving at pace to beat the ominous black clouds not quite being held back by the Cairngorms. But either way, it was always something that I would subconsciously elongate to maximise the time I got to celebrate the achievements, but more importantly, discuss the challenges of life and family with her. As I ran, I pictured Mum on the bike next to me and said thank you for what she had done for me and the family, and made a few promises to her which took the following lines. Mum, I've been so lucky to have been nurtured by you for 48 years. It is only now that I realise how much of a rock and guiding light you have been to me throughout childhood, adolescence and fatherhood. When the four of us are together now, it feels like the hugest hole has been smashed in the original family group. Ironically, it is your coaching, example and ongoing influence that will give us the ability to step into this huge space and continue the wonderful legacy that we have directly experienced and heard so much about in the last 3 weeks from so many different walks of your life. I have so much to thank you for, but nurturing, comforting and patience are the words that fill so many of my memories, both in my direct experience and in my bird's eye view of your interaction with so many others. Across all these years, I have no memory of you losing your temper, and the only mild complaints I can recall are of the hills being too steep on the bike or the wind being too much of a disadvantage for you on the golf course. As I experience the challenges and stresses of family life, I now realise how extraordinarily accommodating you were for us, with everything just being done without a second thought or an expectation of gratefulness from the recipients of your energy. Thank you for making our home such a welcoming and warm place to our friends. At the time, I thought it was the scale of house or garden that was important to impress. And it was only later that I realised your welcome and effortless warmth were what provided the backdrop to so many memorable days and that friends have remembered. Thank you for your constant comfort and support. I know that for much of our relationship this was so taken for granted, and I took the support and took the support when needed and stood back if not. You diluted the stress and made the physical accident seem so bearable. Although I know that secretly you quite enjoyed being able to go back to the baby food when nursing me post my teeth being knocked out by a hockey ball. And you've always magnified the achievements whilst being so self-deprecating about your own. I will always remember going to one of the Oxfordshire tennis tournaments when I was in the under-15s and you were playing in the ladies. You knew your opponent and were watching her warm up, telling us what a beautiful player she was, how the ball was never anywhere but the middle of the racket, how well she moved, along the lines of I'll do well to get a game. The result? You won 6-love, 6-1. And I'm sure the one was because you would have been horrified to have delivered the double bagel. There were moments of firmness when required, but typically just to straighten belligerent teenagers whose vanity needed tempering, or maybe to set a petulant grandchild or even an unreasonable husband straight. I will cherish the later years when parenthood fully opened up our relationship and I recognised the value of your sage advice, and will so miss the manner sounding board for all things parenting. Whilst it was always billed as my treat to you for your birthday, I secretly loved our shopping outings to the Spey Valley Shopping Centre. Not only as it would inevitably lead to a reciprocal purchase, but for the ever rarer one-to-one time I was able to get. You have provided a guiding light throughout my and many other lives that will continue on, and one I promise to remember, observe, and carry forward in my role as a father, a husband, a brother, and of course as a son.
It was difficult to take it in when I got the phone call. A shock, absolute disbelief. Mum and Dad had stayed with us just the weekend before, on the way up to Scotland. Myself, Josh, Dad and Mum had played croquet in the garden, with Anna and Emma laughing from inside at the loud exclamations that were coming from one and all, not least Mum. Mum leaves such a big hole for all of us. As a mum, a grandmother, and a mother-in-law, she was always interested in what we were interested in. Any of us could talk to her about anything, and you knew she would listen, and she would care, and she would possibly advise. But of course, she was never a drama queen, and definitely wouldn't let me make a mountain out of a molehill, as much as I might have liked her occasionally. Any of us could suggest playing a game, and she would almost certainly be willing. She didn't win the croquet, but she won Sailor's Whist that final night. What a privilege that as a son, I was still able to be walking, mountain biking, playing golf and tennis with my 70-year-old mum. In the last few years, Mum and Dad have kindly hosted 10 to 12 of us for an annual, what we call mini Ryder Cup golf event in Scotland. We actually call it the Menai Manx Trophy because it's a team from my old cricket club in Menai Bridge and a team that I now get up from Manchester. And occasionally, when we were short, Mum would even play for the Manchester team. And I got this message from Robbie, who is the captain of the Menai Bridge team in his early 30s. He said this: "So sorry to hear the terrible news. Your mother was a lovely lady and loved by us all, particularly when playing and normally getting beat by her. Her soft, caring and bubbly personality was infectious, and she will now be missed by everyone who met her." And whether it's from a 30-year-old, a 70-year-old, a 15-year-old, we've had so many messages that are very similar to that. As has been alluded to already, the home she created was not a show home, but it really was a home for all of us, and many more besides. Hundreds, literally hundreds, of my friends have been welcomed into Mum and Dad's home, in Oxford or in Scotland, and fed royally by Mum. But more than the food, it was the person who made it special. I always knew that people would be taken an interest in and made to feel special, and they all wanted to come back. As we remember Mum with such fondness and gratitude, I also just wanted to take the opportunity to say something publicly to Dad. Dad, I really want to thank you for the life and impact you enabled Mum to have. She could never have done the many things that we're celebrating without your support. She was utterly secure in your love for her, in your faith, in your integrity, and in your stability in every way. And it was that foundation that has enabled her to touch so many lives and live her life to the full. You were an amazing team. And I'm so sorry for you that you've lost your incredible companion and team member. I have had the amazing privilege for nearly 50 years of living with the support of Mum's constant prayer and ongoing encouragement. I've had the privilege for nearly 50 years to see at close hand the reality and consistency of Mum's faith. This was no Sunday show thing. This was a personal and real relationship with Jesus that affected every part of her life, and it inspired me and impacted me deeply. I've had the privilege for nearly 50 years of being utterly secure, knowing that my Mum and Dad loved us and loved each other deeply. I've had the privilege of seeing Emma being welcomed into the family and being loved and encouraged just like we have been. I've had the privilege of watching my Mum spending time with my children, talking to them, playing games with them, encouraging them, and taking an interest in them so that they felt utterly secure and loved by her. Their cards from Mum would always start, "Darling Josh" or "Darling Anna," and they would laugh, but they would love it. As I sat on the train to Scotland to go and be with Dad on the day Mum died, I reflected on the shock. I thought it would be another 20 years yet. But today, I choose to focus less on the loss of an extra 20 years and more on the fullness of her nearly 72 years and my nearly 50 years with her. I feel so privileged. I don't believe there is anyone who could have been a better Mum to me. To be honest, I wouldn't take anyone else, even if I had them for 80 years. And today, I thank God for the incredible gift that Mum has been to me. The Bible says, to whom much has been given, much is expected. And I pray that I might be faithful to build on the amazing legacy that Mum has left for me through her love, faithfulness, encouragement, prayer, wisdom, and selfless living. We've shared our memories, and lots of us had that privilege to be able to do that, but we are very, very aware that everyone here will have their own personal memories of Mum, and we wanted to just give a couple of minutes or a few minutes just to be able to remember her, and in your own way, the memories that you have, and so to take some time to be able to reflect, to remember, and to give thanks for her life and what she meant to you. And as we do that, pictures are going to go up on the screen, and Emma Taylor is going to come and sing to us as we reflect and remember. Emma grew up in the Baldens, just along the road from us, and as the Taylor family, they were a very precious family to us in our early years in the Baldens, and Emma's going to come and sing.
Thank you, Andrew.
John chapter 14, verses 1 to 6 and verse 27. Jesus comforts his disciples. not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid.
So today we've all gathered to give thanks for Nicola's life, for all she's meant to each one of us, and for God's love for her and for us. And just hearing that reading again, I haven't got it written down on my notes, but my Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, would I have not told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And it reminds me of a comment that was made to me by Peter, saying that one of the family, I won't name them, was reading this the week that Nicola died, and she said, oh, I can imagine Nicola doing all those curtains in all those rooms. So we've heard a lot of Nicola, of the way she didn't complain, the way she welcomed people, her hospitality, the fun and the laughter. We've each got our own memories of Nicola and how that life affected us. We've heard all these lovely tributes, and I'm sure there's a lot more that we will share when we meet together in the village hall. And for many of us here today, she has and will continue to have a lasting effect on the people that we are today. Nicola, together with Peter, has come over, was full of energy. She loved being with and caring for other people. I first met Nicola 48 years ago when we were all going to Christchurch in Abingdon, and at that time we each had only two small children, but number three was on the way for both of us. And we got together with friends from church and started a fish finger lunch. There was no competition, fish fingers, peas, potatoes, ice cream. This was a weekly meeting in our homes where the menu was decided, so there was no hassle. But during our time together, one of us looked after the children while the others read the Bible, discussed and prayed together. When the children went to school, we started to play tennis together every week, though the menu did become a bit more varied then. This was the start of what you may have heard the tennis four, which has been a lasting friendship, though it still maintained the tennis four label even when we went up to five people. We still meet regularly, though sadly not weekly, and have supported one another through many ups and downs over the past 48 years. And Nicola and I worked together for 3 years. I was PA to headmaster of a prep school, and I'm afraid my typing was not very good. So he said, why don't you get somebody to come along and help you? So Nicola, who obviously with the House of Lords has an absolute expert, she came along and we worked together for 3 years, which was absolutely great. So most of the memories that we have of Nicola will be happy, but some may well cause our hearts to be troubled. There may be things that we said that we wish we hadn't said, or things that we wanted to say but couldn't. If we feel like this, then we need to recall what Jesus said. We should not let our hearts be troubled, but we should trust in God and in Jesus himself. We can know that God is great and he is dependable. Jesus spoke these words shortly before his own death. His disciples knew by then that his life was in danger. They must have had a sense of dread about what would happen next. What Jesus said was to reassure them, and it is also to reassure us today. These words of Scripture tell us that the way to eternal life, though unseen, is secure. It is as secure as our trust is in Jesus. Nicola's trust in Jesus was very secure. In her daily prayer and Bible study, in her care for others, in her willingness to let Jesus' love flow through her as a follower of Jesus. Jesus says he is preparing a place for us. Nicola knew that. She believed in him and she knew him and acted on what he said to her through the Bible and her involvement with the Christian fellowships in which she worshipped during her lifetime. How we, each one of us here this morning, respond to what Jesus says to us is crucial to who we are. So I wonder how we are all responding this morning to those words. Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me." A message for the disciples and a message for you and me too. For the Christian, physical death is not the end. Although the details of eternity are known to us, we need not fear. We can look forward to eternal life because Jesus has promised to all who believe in him. Nicola believed in him and was confident that Jesus was preparing a place for her. Wherever she lived and worshipped during her life, she was involved actively in the local church there. She read lessons, led prayers at services, welcomed those coming into the church. She belonged to home groups, Generation Gold, and other fellowships meetings. She helped mums and young children to learn about Jesus and visited many people in their homes. The last time I saw Nicola was only a few days before she went up to Scotland. She rang and she asked if she could come round to see me, so that we could pray for a mutual friend who was not well. We shared and we prayed together for an hour. Seeing so many people here today, I know that you will all have different memories. I feel that Nicola would want you all to know that God prepares a place for us and would want us to follow Jesus. So here is a second thought for us to hold on to today. Jesus is saying here, "I am going to prepare a place for you." A message for those disciples. A message for you and me too. Third thing for us to hold on to is Jesus says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." No wonder poor old Thomas found it so confusing. And we also might well be finding it confusing. But I believe that as we go through all the ups and downs of life, God is always with us. God created us for his glory, and that is why he chooses to redeem us. Not because we are worthy, but because inexplicably he loves us. And I believe that Nicola knew that. When he was talking about Nicola, said that Nicky was his friend, and how much that had helped him. And even though he had gone away from the Lord because of Nicola's friendship, of her care, of her concern for him, he came back and found faith in Nicola. She spent over 71 years of her life on this earth and spent time knowing Jesus as her friend, growing in her understanding about a God who cared and loved for her. And that trust, that profound trust in Jesus, was a witness to all who knew her, as Dave has shown us so clearly this morning. And as God cared for her, she cared for others. And her life has affected the lives of many with whom she came in contact. And Jesus affects the lives of all who by faith walk with him. I believe that Jesus is with us today. He has shown us how we can have eternal life and come to the Father through him. When he came to live on this earth and become like one of us, Jesus gave us an example to follow and is someone we can get to know and with whom we can be friends. And as a friend and as the one who can give us eternal life, he understands us better than we understand ourselves. And if we want him to, he can transform us more and more into his likeness, just as he did with Nicola. And he loves each one of us despite our faults and failings. The final verse that was read in that bit this morning was, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." Shortly after Jesus said these words, he was put to death. And it seemed to his followers that all their worst fears had been realized. Yet, if we read on in John's Gospel, we see that within a few days, he had demonstrated his victory over death. This amazing news transformed the lives of his followers, and they began to share it with others. Their hearts were no longer troubled. And as we share this news with you today, I believe that we too, each one of us here this morning, in response to Jesus, can receive and enjoy that confidence in the risen Lord and share in his victory over sin and death. When we accept that God loves us, when we have told him that we are sorry for the things that we do wrong and have accepted that Jesus gave his life for us, as Nicola did, our lives are transformed as those of the disciples were, and we can look forward to a life beyond the grave. Because, as he told his disciples, he has prepared a place for those who love him. Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me." Jesus says, "I am going to prepare a place for you." Jesus says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me."
Thank you very much, Jean. Our prayers are now led by Richard and Jane. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we praise you that through the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, you have opened the way for us to be your sons and daughters, and to have the blessed hope of eternal life. We thank you that your word says that nothing can separate us from your love that is in Christ Jesus our Lord, and that all who put their trust in him can know your forgiveness, your peace, and the joy of heaven. Amen.
Father God, we thank you for Nick's life and for every memory we hold dear, for all of her love as wife, mother, grandmother, auntie, and special friend to so many, and for all of her many gifts, and for the beauty of her heart. We praise you, Father, that you have called Nick to be forever safe in your everlasting presence of peace and joy. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Father, we thank you that your words and promises are true. And we thank you for that promise of everlasting life for all who put their trust in you. Help us, Father God, in our times of doubt, sorrow, bewilderment, to turn our eyes and hearts to your eternal hope. For you, Lord, are the stronghold of our lives. May you strengthen us in our faith and help us to keep our hope in your ever-present love, and remembering that God said, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." So we say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid." And we pray all of these prayers in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And now let us join together in the Lord's Prayer, which we will find on the service sheet. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory of God, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you very much. Well, our service is drawing to a close. Before we sing our final song, a hymn of celebration, it's a great Easter hymn. I'm sure it'll be familiar to many, maybe not to everyone, but you'll pick it up. It's a great celebration of Christ's victory over death. That's what it all hinges upon, doesn't it? The Christian faith stands or falls on whether or not Jesus really rose from the dead. And our confidence in life beyond this life is based on that. We're going to sing of that in a minute, but before we do so, we're going to have a few moments of quiet just for our own thoughts and memories and prayers as we commend Nicola to the mercy of God, our Maker and Redeemer. But could I invite you to stand just for a moment? Our Creator and Redeemer, by your power Christ conquered death and entered into glory, confident of his victory and claiming his promises. We entrust Nicola to your mercy. In the name of Jesus our Lord, who died and is alive and reigns with you now and forever. Amen. So we sing together. Christ is risen from the dead. Neither death nor life can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. So grant to us, Lord God, to trust you, not for ourselves alone, but also for those whom we love and who are hidden from us by the shadow of death. But as we believe your power to have raised our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, so may we trust your love to give eternal life to all who believe in him. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. So the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, make you perfect in every good work to do his will. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.